welcome to Inside the Helix, a podcast presentation from DNA Genetics. Throughout this series, we focus on all things that matter to the pork industry. You'll hear from our award-winning team of geneticists, veterinarians, animal care providers, nutritionists, and other industry-leading experts. We'll explore pig production from genetic improvement all the way to meat quality. Listen along as we take a deep dive inside the DNA Helix. The terminal boar is a key component of the equation for swine producers. Today we're going to spend some time talking about some research that's focused on managing the pre-production boar. My guest is Dr. Ashley Hartman. Ashley is the research coordinator here with DNA Genetics. Thanks for joining us today, Dr. Hartman.
Hey, Curtis. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, that's great, Ashley, and I'm excited to have you on the podcast today. You're fairly new here with DNA Genetics as the research coordinator. Talk about what you do as the research coordinator.
Yeah, so I guess good question to start out with, Curtis. So I'm kind of the person behind the scenes that's making all of our projects here happen. So I work closely with our R&D team that Christine talked about a couple weeks ago. We have lots of different representation across DNA and Pillin. And so I kind of help make their visions come true. We meet as a group and talk about concerns that our customers have, also concerns we have internally, both DNA and on the Pillin Family Farm side. And then we implement those projects, and then I kind of oversee and make those happen on the farm. And then part of that role is also coming back and sharing that information with customers and with producers within the company.
Well, it's great to have you on the team. And I love talking with DNA Genetics researchers because there's a lot of exciting things that are going on within the research portfolio. But let's start by talking about your background just a little bit, because you are not a native Nebraskan. You're actually from Montana. And you grew up on a cow-calf farm?
Yeah, that's correct. So originally from Montana, grew up in the central part of the state there with cows. And it's actually kind of funny because growing up, my sister was the one that had pigs and 4-H. And so that was never really my thing. And so it's kind of a turn of the tables that now I'm the one that works with swine. But
yeah, how did that happen? How did you get that interest or that passion?
Yeah, so it's funny where life takes you. So I went to Kansas State University for my undergraduate degree and really needed a job. And the swine nutrition team so happened to be hiring at the time. And so I applied to work with the swine applied nutrition team, and they took me on. And then that team exposed me to commercial swine research and commercial swine production. And so I got to spend a couple summers on some big commercial sow farms, and then also doing some nursery work at their home farm there, and fell in love with commercial swine production. And that's eventually kind of what led to the project we're going to talk about today, actually.
So. Yeah, let's move into that. It sounds like a lot of your background so far has kind of been with sows. But today's topic is about boars. How kind of did this transition occur?
So before coming to K-State for my undergrad, I actually worked at a bull stud and analyzing semen and working with bulls. And so when I started my master's, all of my work was focused on male fertility. And so then as I moved into PhD, I was really missing working with pigs in general. And so I went and talked to one of the professors there, Dr. Jason Woodworth, and I said, I really want to get back into some swine work. He said, well, you do male fertility, so it doesn't make sense to do a sow project, but what about boars? I said, well, nobody does boar work. And he said, well, that's why you should do that. And so we started some conversations actually with the crew here at DNA Genetics and talking about what needs they had, what needs their customers had. And that's kind of how I got pulled into the swine side, but also kept my love for male fertility that started with bulls.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a really interesting path from where you started to where you are today. So that leads us then to our topic and talking about this research project that you're working on specifically. Could you tell us a little bit more about how this project was developed?
Yeah, so it was kind of a fun experience. I got to work with some folks that have been on the podcast before, Corey Faust and Steve Trelau, and just kind of picking their brains as far as to what they were seeing on the boar studs and what issues their producers were seeing and customers were seeing. And we consistently were hearing lots of questions around how do we manage the boar when we take them from that time of off performance testing and bringing them into the stud. So we ask these boars to grow really quickly and really rapidly to identify those top of the line 9 terminal genetics, but then we take them from eating as much as they want, whenever they want, and we put them in stalls at the boar stud. We limit their feed, and then we ask them to go from being this lean, mean growing machine to producing semen. And it's a really stressful time period for these boars, but also really impactful for their longevity in the boar stud and kind of the trajectory of their lifetime. And so as we talked about that, it brought up a lot of other questions. So the NRC values for the boar are largely based on values from the 80s and 90s. And a lot of our amino acid requirements for the boar are also based on the sow. And while, yeah, those get us pretty close, they're not exact. And we also know that one boar has a huge economic impact on the rest of the herd. And so just kind of thinking some of those things through and hearing from customers' concerns of these big boars and how do we manage them during that time is really kind of what brought this about.
Yeah. And this seems like there's a lot of unknowns truly about the boar. And as I said in the intro, the boar is such a big part of the equation in good swine genetics. How do you even begin to start answering all of those questions?
Yeah. So that was a lot of conversations that we had as a group, is where do we even start? And so we decided that just kind of understanding that foundational transition period and where we take those boars from that on test time period to the boar stud and ask them to kind of change gears from being a growing animal to a reproductive animal was where we wanted to start. And so we wanted to look at that time period and how they change environments. They go through, you know, transitioning to a stall and kind of see what happens just with body weight changes. So we know that the boars change diets during this time too. And so that's where we decided to start, was looking at the weight changes of these boars and how that impacts their lifetime performance, specifically during that isolation period.
So how exactly did you do this, or how did you achieve this goal?
Yeah, so we started and we had about 170 boars, and we weighed them when they came to the stud and then weighed them at the end of that isolation period, so about 6 weeks later. And then we divided those groups into different weight loss changes. I also want to point out that we did formulate diets and fed amounts to meet or exceed the NRC requirements during this time. And yet when we went back and retrospectively looked at the weight changes of these boars, we had boars that were losing up to about 9% of their body weight to gaining almost 30% of their body weight. So again, we were trying to formulate these diets and feed exactly to what they needed or exceed what they needed. And yet we had pretty drastic differences in weight change, either from a loss or a gain standpoint during that time.
Yeah, I was going to say, it does seem like these are pretty drastic differences in weight changes over this time. Were you expecting this difference, or were you expecting these changes?
No. So that's a really good question. When we got the first set of data back, I thought, oh, how I must have done my math wrong. And so we had to just really, it was very eye-opening as to what the needs of the boar maybe actually are. You know, maybe being more aware of what's actually going on in that setting. Are there some boars that take the stress a little harder than others? And so, yeah, definitely something we didn't expect. And what's interesting is Purdue actually has recently published or shared some data at Midwest Animal Science meetings where they saw similar things. They formulated diets to meet or exceed NRC requirements, and they also had boars losing weight. So telling us, you know, our data is valid and we need to be really paying attention to these boars and what's going on throughout their productive lifetimes.
So then, Ashley, as you look at these weight changes, how do they impact the boars?
Yeah, so what was really interesting and something I thought we would see is, as some of those boars that were in that weight loss category, I thought it might affect time to training. Or, you know, we were hearing customers saying, oh, we have problems with these really big boars. So those that you're gaining a lot of weight, thought that it might cause some of those to have issues with training or becoming a working boar. We actually didn't have any difference across any of our treatments as far as training or time to train, time to become working, and during that time. And so that was one thing that we expected to see, but we didn't. What we did see, however, is from about week 8 to 23 of production for these boars, we saw some significant semen production differences. So the boars that lost weight in isolation from about week 8 to 23 as a working boar produced significantly less total normal sperm.
Wow, that's really interesting. So then as we look at the stud managers or producers, what does this mean for them?
Yeah. So I think one thing that I would really encourage managers and stud producers to do is really be paying attention to that individual boar. So we've had some conversations here on continuing with this data and doing a better job of actually weighing our boars. So visually from a body condition standpoint, we wouldn't have seen any differences in these boars, but they are continuing to grow. They're still a growing animal during this time. And so I think as we feed them and we kind of think about their needs, just as a stud manager, paying attention to that individual animal is really important.
Ashley, you mentioned that the semen production differences has an economic impact. What does that look like?
Yeah, great question, Curtis. So we actually went back and did some economic calculations on a per dose basis. And so from those 15 weeks where those boars that actually gained weight produced more semen than those that lost weight, it comes out to about 70 doses difference. And if you figure about $6 a dose, that's $420 per boar just during that 15 week period. So when you add that up over about 50 to 100 boars per isolation group, that adds up really quickly.
It's substantial. Absolutely. So Ashley, circling back then to how we assess body condition, is visual body condition assessment adequate then?
Yeah, so I think that a lot of our farm managers do a really good job with that. But as we proved with this, where we didn't see any differences in body condition changes, being able to be more precise in how we're measuring and monitoring those boars is going to be really important going forward. And so if you have a barn set up where you could run boars across the scale on their way to the collection arena, I think that that's a great tool that you can use to kind of just be more diligent in monitoring those boars. I realize it takes more time, but when you think about total normal sperm production, that's a pretty significant economic impact.
Now, the whole goal of DNA Genetics is to improve swine genetics. What is DNA Genetics doing to improve this overall issue then?
Yeah, so as a group, there's some of us that are currently working and exploring through these challenges with boar production and trying to come up with a better way to help both our customers and us internally to improve how we manage these boars. So is weighing them every day the right goal? What sort of average daily gain should these boars be having to maximize sperm production? So trying to kind of quantify and put an amount to some of that is what we're currently trying to work on.
Ashley, as this study possibly winds up then, where does your future research go from here?
Yeah, so kind of what our goals from here are to start looking at more of what actually drives the semen production in the boar. And so now that we understand how much that metabolic change during that time impacts them, trying to understand more about them reproductively. So Dr. Rashi's been on here talking about the improvements we've made from a genetic standpoint in that terminal animal. But at the end of the day, there's still a terminal animal that we're asking to perform reproductively. And so I'm hoping that we can start to do a better job of understanding what the boar's contributions are from that standpoint, and then hopefully make some improvements from a reproductive standpoint in our Duroc boars, because at the end of the day, we need the Duroc to make more piglets, but we often think of them as a terminal animal, and so reproduction's not always what's focused on for them, and so I'm hoping that we can make some significant strides there.
Ashley, we've talked about a lot today. What are maybe one or two key take-homes that producers should come away with once listening to this episode?
Yeah, Curtis. So I think for me, one of the big take-homes would be just realizing and understanding we don't always know the needs and requirements of the boar. So just doing a really good job of monitoring those individual boars and trying to be diligent and making sure that they're getting enough feed, that boar beside them isn't robbing feed from them. And then also keeping in mind that we need to keep these boars in a positive metabolic state. So not only our data, but Purdue's data shows that that really impacts semen production. And for a stud, that is what pays the bills. And so making sure that we're keeping these boars in a positive plane of nutrition is really important. And also, I would encourage for any of those listeners out there that are interested in boar research, we need more of us that are interested in doing some of that. And so just keeping learning and reducing stress during that time is really important for these boars.
Very good information. Thank you very much, Dr. Ashley Hartman, Research Coordinator at DNA Genetics. I'm Curtis Harms for Inside the Helix.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Inside the Helix, presented by DNA Genetics. Inside the Helix is released every other Tuesday and is focused on what matters to the swine industry. To catch up on previous episodes, visit us online at dnaswinegenetics.com or find us at your favorite podcast streaming platforms. You can also keep up with DNA Genetics throughout the year by following us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. For Inside the Helix, I'm Curtis Harms.